Podcast this week is brought to you by Bloke and a Bar Beer.
Klutzy, I have been abstaining from blokes for a little bit too long.
Oh, dude.
And it's all coming to a head.
Oh, dude. I know exactly what you were talking about.
This Saturday, obviously, Josh and I will be taking part in the Podcast Royale. In preparation for the fight, I've given up the one thing that means most to me in life, and that is Bloke and a Bar Beer. And there's one thing that I'll be doing as soon as that bell goes in the final round.
Yeah, you can be rest assured that we will be fucking smashing so many blokes down our throats come Saturday night.
Yeah, and probably Sunday.
And Sunday.
Maybe even Monday.
You know what? Fuck it. I'm going on a bender.
Yeah, we might go on a bender. Yeah,
we might go on a bender.
Maybe we should record a few eps, get ahead, and just go on a bender.
Yeah, fuck. I think we deserve it.
Yeah, I think we deserve it as well. And I think if you're listening to this, you deserve it.
Yeah, fucking oath. You deserve to go on a bender with blokes down your throat with Bloke and a Bar Beer.
That's
so
it.
Make sure you head to bloke.shop.
Blokeandabar.com.
Blokeandabar.com, sorry. You can also go to bloke.shop. They probably got some merch there too.
They do.
But go to bloke.com. Go to the store locator and put in your postcode to find where your nearest stockist is.
Get some Bloke. You deserve it.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The podcast this week is brought to you by Domino's.
It is brought to you by Domino's. Now, as you know, Klutzy and I have been hard training for the Boxing Royale, which took place over the weekend. Domino's hit us up today and we're like, we've got a bit of a reward, boys, for all your hard work. We really want you to treat yourself this week. Ooh. So they've come to us with a new code for us to share. But we thought, you know, let's share it with the frothies as well. Why not? Like, they didn't specify saying that it's not for everyone else.
Yep.
Now, the code is BBB. B, there's four Bs. Just I wanted to like just emphasize that to make sure people know I'm serious. Four Bs, WK,
okay.
Which stands for Boost Week.
Basically. Lovely. BBB Boost Week.
So for this week only until Sunday, you can get one pizza for 30% off, two pizzas for 40% off, or three pizzas for 50% off that code.
That's fucking incredible.
It is fucking incredible, Josh.
That is so good. And I think we have earned a lot of pizzas.
Yeah, I might have 50,000 pizzas this week just to make up for it.
Yeah, what? So that's like, you're only going to pay for like 25,000 of worth.
Yeah, so we're essentially making money.
Yeah, exactly.
We're getting 25,000 pizzas for free.
When you do bike maths, it's essentially you're eating for free for the rest of your life.
The more you eat, the more you make.
Fucking oath.
So if you want to make money this week, go to Domino's and use the code BBBBWK.
Beers. Bloody brilliant. Beers. Bloody brilliant sport.
And welcome back to the Buddy Brilliant Beers podcast brought to you by Bluebet.
That's Klutz. I'm Darcy. We are the Buddy Brilliant Beers. We started out reviewing craft beers on Facebook and now we bring you the conversations that you'd more than likely hear from the front bar at your local. And where are we today, Klutzy?
Mate, we're at the Caxton Hotel again and pretty much the same shit as usual. Yeah, the sun is shining and so are you.
Exactly.
Shout out to Avicii.
Unfortunately, we're not joined by Jack Conan this week, but we have enlisted the assistance of our very good friend from the Off-Field Drama podcast, Sterling Farquhar, King of the Caxton, King of the North. How are you, mate?
Fortunately, I am here. Yeah, you're right. I'm well. I'm really good.
That's good.
Good to be here.
No, I said unfortunately, no Jack.
Oh,
but fortunately,
right.
We've got you.
Right, are they? Yeah. Of course.
Thanks, mate. Filling in. This is our weekly sports show where, as always, Klutzy, as we say, if you're here for a breakdown of stats and analysis, we'd ask that you kindly
fuck off.
Kindly fuck off. I got myself so tangled getting into the chair. Did you see that then?
No, I didn't.
I had my
but
phone plugged in. I'm fucking all over the shop.
That's
anyway,
all right. You're doing well.
We made it. How are we going, gentlemen?
Yeah, good.
Very good, thank you.
Famous Broncos win on the weekend.
Oh, well, it was good. Good to see.
It was great.
Very, very good. I was at the game. Yeah. Were you guys there?
No. I was in Charleville.
I was at home. I could have gone, but apparently if one of us isn't available, both of us aren't available. So
shout out to Donnie Sports for not inviting Klutzy to the footy.
Kept going on about how he had these tickets for us to the footy, and I was just like, sweet, that's awesome. Like, I'm really keen. Darce said, oh, I'm going out to Charleville. And he's like, oh, of course you're running away from fucking Brisbane when the Cowboys come. I'm like, oh, yeah, like, shit chatters always from that, fuck with it. But
don't you just learn to expect that, just under-delivering Donnie?
Yeah. Fucking exactly right. Anyway, we get to it, and he's just like, oh, well, yeah, you guys are running away from Brisbane. Like, Darce is out in Charleville. I was like, yeah, sweet. Like, I was actually really keen to go to the game, dude.
Didn't he run away from Brisbane?
Yeah, he's in Townsville supporting his Cowboys, which sucked ass.
They fucking got pumped.
He also, did you notice, Josh, he had a female in the... He actually had corporate tickets, must be nice, and had a female in there with him. So maybe you got dropped last minute for someone you met on Tinder or something.
Yeah, well, she possibly showed more... Well, she definitely showed more affection than I would to that fuckwit. But, yeah, that's not saying much, though. Like, I think a slight touch on the arm he'd be happy with. Or even just someone else's company. So he's not lost in his own thoughts in his fucking two-bedroom apartment back in Townsville that he got from dirt cheap because no one fucking lives there.
There's some tension.
Yeah, very much so.
Oh, mate, you know what? When you post that much shit and keep trying to tag us so that we reshare stuff and try and fucking do that, you know what, mate? Go and get fucked.
I've just had a huge sip from my coffee. Can you see what's floating?
Oh, there's a fly.
Yep, dead fly.
Oh, no.
You had it leave it sitting there for a while.
Lovely.
It's probably from when I farted before. It probably dived from the stench. Yeah,
crawled out your ass, came out your ass. before we get any further, we should probably introduce Sterling properly. He hasn't been on the podcast. I know he's on a couple of weeks ago, but hasn't featured on the full episode in a while.
For a while, yeah.
Sterling Farquhar from the Caxton Hotel, also the Off-Field Drama podcast. What do you want to, like, do you want to introduce yourself? Tell the people about who you are, what you do.
I'm at the Caxton pretty much 24/7. Do a potty myself, as you mentioned, OFD. Fucking what else? I mean, I'm pretty sure most of your people know me.
Yeah, it's just been a while. We had you on, as I said, a couple of weeks ago, but we didn't really give much insight as to who you were. So anyone knew would
the bloke runs the Caxton Hotel, the greatest pub in the world.
It's hard to say who you are.
Yeah, exactly. Without getting a bit scared.
I've got to say, it's one of my favourite couches here.
Where you
I forgot how comfy it was.
It is good, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's quite good.
Yeah.
But yeah, obviously, great win for the Brisbane Broncos. You know, there's one pivotal moment throughout the week when I knew the game was won. You know when that was?
When
I saw Reece Walsh wearing a Cowboys hat.
Yeah, fucking eyes.
When you wear a Cowboys hat,
it's a bit of a flex
against the Cowboys.
Yeah,
like he's their daddy.
Didn't take it off at all.
Nah, didn't even play.
It's a big.
He didn't have to play.
There were a few of them wearing them.
He did enough just by wearing that hat.
DeLuise Hoyter was wearing one too.
Yeah, nice.
And he's sexy as fuck.
I love that all of them have it.
Yeah,
I love that all of them have that fucking hat so that it distracts obviously the Cowboys.
I want to get one after that game, like after seeing Walsh.
Yeah,
I really want to get one.
I've always wanted a fucking Cobra.
Yeah, aren't they like $400 bro?
The Bobcat especially.
Oh, yeah.
If anyone knows any connections to a Cobra, please reach out because fuck, I would love to get one.
Yeah,
I think it's a Ringers Western. I hate to burst your bubble, but they're sponsored by Ringers Western.
Oh, okay, it's probably fucking cheaper. So
the Wallabies got a Cobra, so maybe we do want the Ringers Western.
You don't want a Cobra if the Wallabies got one.
I don't know. Well, they're looking all right this year. But also something from that game as well that I noticed. Obviously, it was in torrential rain for the start of it, and it was just wet conditions. I found it very ironic that a man with the last name Drink Water could not perform when wet. Six errors.
Yeah.
Could not take a high ball from Adam Reynolds. Honestly, one of the hardest nights in rugby league that anyone would have.
Yeah.
But you'd really think you dig down deep into your roots and just try and, I don't know, be like the Avatar and master all four fucking elements.
Yeah,
you've got one in your name, cunt.
He should have been called Drink Saucepan because he had two saucemen for hands.
The Broncos actually have a really good record in the wet.
There you go.
I think in the last like eight games, they've won like seven or something.
Horses typically do a bit better than Cowboys in the wet. Yeah.
Obviously, it doesn't rain much up there. They have a atrocious record, they say.
Yep.
Yeah. So, well, I don't know if you've seen horses in wet conditions, but they do perform well on race day.
Yeah, you're
Cowboys
right.
don't.
Yeah. Cowboys typically don't.
They're just drenched.
Cowboys not necessarily around on race day, funnily enough.
No, they're not.
Yeah. No, exactly.
If ever. When's the last time you saw a cowboy? Anyway, getting caught up in the sauce. But obviously go the Broncos. Something I wanted to bring to the table early this week. Obviously, Jack's not here. He's a bit crook. He will be back next week, we hope. But his predictions for the crowd attendances for the week. Now, he had a bit of a shaky start.
Very shaky.
Talking in percentages, the Roosters-Panthers game, he was nearly 17% off. Rabbitohs-Bulldogs, 6.5% off. Broncos-Cowboys, 8.5% off. And then he gets really dire. Dragons-Seagulls, he was nearly 20% off. Titans-Dolphins, nearly 25% off, which you might think, shit, this bloke can't predict crowd attendances. But what if I told you that he ended the week with an average of 1.69% off?
Because he nailed.
The bloke finished strong.
Yeah, he finished very strong. What I don't get from that, looking at it, Roosters-Panthers billed as one of the big games of the year purely because the Roosters are doing so well this year. Now, I know that they don't really have a great supporter base, yep. but surely, like, they seem sort of bandwagon-y.
Yep.
So surely when you're going up against the Panthers, when you're doing really well,
yep.
you're going to get those extra numbers. Yeah, so I think 21,000 is a little bit, and it's also a long weekend.
What did you guys think about the Dylan Walker thing? I mean, not Dylan Walker, Dylan Edwards.
Dylan Edwards.
Yeah. What happened?
What actually happened there?
So it was,
I missed that part of the game.
It was given a try on field. I didn't see it either. I've just watched 360 at my arse and seen him complain about it. So it was given a try.
One of those guys.
Bunker's then gone up and reviewed it and given it a no try.
Yeah.
So they've basically just, they've taken the try off him.
Yeah.
So he was coming across, was about at the goalpost, and the try was scored by Joey Manu in the corner.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
This, bit of a, ended up being like up on his head.
Yeah.
And they showed this interesting angle where it was like, if he kept running at the same speed, he actually would have got, like it was sort of like a little halo. He would have actually got right within, in the vicinity when he was sort of going to over the line. Because when you look at it, you're like, there's no fucking way he's getting there.
Yeah.
And they gave the, they didn't give the try. It was, yeah, it was like a block player was running through and just like bumped into it. But it's just like, we were sort of talking about it, me and Berkey, like they need to, it sort of can't be black and white. I think it should be up to interpretation.
Well, mate, every year there is always one thing that it's, happens in like round one or two that then becomes the storyline for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is it with the, apparently it's meant to be quite straight down the line, black and white, that you've either got to not go into the defensive line or you've got to run through and keep your course. But it just seems like there's real stupid ones. The only thing I've been hearing about all that sort of shit is that people are now saying it rewards laziness because you can just fucking, if you're too lazy to get across in defense, you can just, oh, I can't.
Yeah.
Attach yourself to someone and try and get a fucking penalty.
I reckon some things should definitely be black and white, and something should be up to interpretation, because I think that's, the more you look at it, like in any sport, that's kind of like the beauty of sport.
Yeah.
It's up to interpretation of the referee, but they've got to know, like you've got to have someone
you
in the bunker or someone that knows.
100 million times every game in rugby union where there's, you know what I mean, it's not black and white, like in rucks and shit.
Mate, that's so true, because it's such a, in union it's almost like opposite. What kills me in league compared to union is how we don't review forward passes, man.
Yeah.
Like blatant forward passes.
Yeah, it's just dumb, isn't it? Like, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I don't really get it, yeah.
I know we weren't going to bring this up, but it just made me think of it. Yeah, so just want to give a quick shout out to Tom Cleary from the BBB Frothies page, who commented the other day and he said, in recent times being in AFL, and I'm sure it could be utilised in NRL, since we've started using AI/technology so much, why can't we, like, they've got like smart mouth guards in Super Rugby, use computer chips in aspects of the game that referees are starting to get wrong? AFL specifically implant a chip in the ball so when in play we can register the G-forces applied to the ball when kicked, and also to know when the ball is actually out of play. This would mean they'd have to have detection sensors around the boundary line. Could this also be used in NRL for forward passes? It brings up an interesting conversation about bringing more technology into the game. I actually am of the belief that we should fucking get rid of a lot more technology.
Yeah.
Because I think, like, at the cusp of it, like, it's sport. Obviously, if we have players knocking the ball on, passing it forward, doing all that, that's human error. So you can assume if you've got a referee, they're going to have human error as well.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you over-officiate that and bring in too much technology, you're not going to allow for that. Like, I know referees get fucking scrutinized for their decisions and whatnot, but I feel like that needs to still be part of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, you can make a decision. Like, I get the video ref and shit like that if you don't see it, but, like, you should be able to just make a decision. If it's wrong, that sucks, but sort of like that's club your sport, human error.
Like,
fucking oaths, mate.
Yeah.
Fucking
oaths. Like, if you play club cricket, something you get given out, you're not out. It's like, well, that's just fucking what happens, mate. It's shit.
I reckon there's a fine line of, like, like, obvious decisions need to be, like, officiated well, or and there should be some technology. What you don't want is it to be, like, officiated, like, with technology within an inch of its fucking life, like American sport.
But it just takes so long,
many breaks, like in NBA and NFL. It's just fucking throw it up in the air and fight for the ball.
Yeah, average NRL game is probably like a viewing of what, like 2 hours, like say it's like a 4-6 slot or something like that. You'll fucking go 4-8, bro.
Do you know what my favourite saying about basketball is?
What?
I know you probably got a lot of basketball listeners. I like basketball as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Paddy Welsh, the Channel 7
yeah.
Yeah.
News guy, he said fucking give them each 100 points and play the last 5 minutes.
That's actually true. Yeah. So often it gets down to that. Yeah. Yeah. Like, and if it's not, if it's a blowout, then it's shit to watch anyway. Yeah. Like, yeah.
People just like, yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
It's funny how often basketball gets mate, down to like the wire though. It's fucking incredible.
You can't bet on it.
Even like, trust me, you can. Oh, yeah. Yes, you can. Yeah.
There's games on every day, bro.
During the Christmas period when you're at the Caxton Hotel every day watching a lot of basketball.
When you have a league pass and you can watch every game live, it's very easy to bet on, trust me.
Can and should are two different things.
Yeah.
It goes to show, though, like when they do like line betting and stuff like that and everyone's like, oh, what the fuck? Like, and American sport in particular, NFL, it'll be like someone might be paying $2 to win and the line will be like -3.5 or something, and you're like, what the fuck? They're paying $2, only gonna win by like 4 points. Oh, that's fucking easy money.
How crazy they win by like two. Some of the lines they pick,
yeah,
but you know what they do is they pick out the average of the last time both those teams have played each other, the last like 5 games.
Yeah,
that's basically how they.
But it's crazy how accurate the bookies are.
It's insane. That sort of
shit.
Yeah, it's wild. Insane.
Even like players, props, lines, like how many meters are going to get in shit.
Overs, unders.
Well, for the basketball, that's the good thing about betting. Like the fun thing about betting on basketball is you got points, rebounds, assists, threes, much blocks, like steals, like fucking shit, don't get me started. It's been a while since I've had a fucking NBA.
So go bet on NBA.
Yeah. Always remember to gamble responsibly.
How's your NFL?
It went well.
It went great, dude.
He got up.
I got up on the blue bet one. I did. I got up. And then personally was doing a fair amount of just like small like $10 bets or something like that.
Yeah. It was only it was only for the off season. Like you finished it when the footy started.
You ended up in the green.
So the blue bet challenge I did, I ended up in the green, and my personal one, I ended up quite in the green as well. Okay. So I'm pretty keen to do it again next year.
The only other thing I had from around the grounds this week in the NRL was someone, I don't even know how this started. I think it might have been Lockie Owen himself who started this off. But a couple of weeks ago, Klutzy and Jack Cronin went out to Redcliffe to watch the Dolphins play. Who did they play? I can't even fucking remember.
We absolutely pumped the Dragons.
Yeah, Dolphins, Dragons. And a video surfaced of Cronin celebrating a Hamiso Tabuai Fido try with the Hammer celebration, which everyone knows and loves, I'm sure. It was on our Instagram story.
I saw just then, actually.
And someone, I think it was Lockie in the first place, has noticed that the Canberra Raiders, Jack's beloved Canberra Raiders, had a red hot start to the season. And since Crow has been pitcher participating in Hammer Time, have gone on to have 2 losses.
He's cursed him.
We've got a message here from Lockie. So usually we'd play these on the Monday show, but I thought we'd play it tonight.
Did you see, sorry, I know we're not about stats, but I did see something fucking hilarious that Jack actually retweeted the other day. Last year, the Raiders were up 18-0 at a number of times, and they ended up only winning by like 2 or 4 points in a high-scoring game. And he's like 3-0 in these sort of games. And then he's just retweeted that.
They were up 18. They were up fucking 18.
Tweet and just gone 0-1.
Yeah. restart the counter.
I tipped him too. I was filthy.
Anyway, let's hear what Lockie Elm has to say.
Boys, Lockie Elm, a.k.a. the content king. How are we?
Good, thanks,
Good
Paul.
Good boy, how are you?
Look, I'm fucking not happy. The Raiders start the year 2 from 2 wins, all good, flying, scrolling through the socials. What do I see? BBB, Jack Cronin, fucking fins up, KO Stadium, Hammer Time, woohoo! It's bullshit. He's fucking cursed the club. Raiders haven't won a game since. They look absolutely fucking terrible. We need an apology. It's not on, mate. Do better. You're fucking guilty of being fucking guilty. Sort it out, mate.
Yeah, so we were going to spring that on Jack today, but obviously he's not here. So hopefully he listened into the pod and can come next week with his apology ready to go.
Fucking hell. I really, really hope that I'm keen to see what he has to say about it.
Yeah, he'll fire up for sure.
Fuck, sorry. Just have a look at his tweets as well. God, he is a dribble. Oh,
loves
mate.
Twitter.
His Twitter's so funny because it's so obviously a piss take, but a lot of people don't understand. So he's got Brad Schneider in a Panthers debut. 1 try, 3 assists, 8 line break assists, 6 forced dropouts, 31 tackles, 0 missed, 22-16 W. Have the Panthers found their long-term halfback? And then he's done like his own edit of Schneider doing all these like hectic poses and stuff in a Panthers jersey. He's just a fucking dribbler and he's the reason why the Raiders are losing.
Do people blow up about that?
Yeah,
yeah,
all the time.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Righto, fellas. So as you're saying, Sterling, you're a fan of basketball. Do you watch much of the college basketball stuff?
No, I don't, but I'm privy to Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, she's going all right. She's going all right.
Who's Caitlin Clark?
Mate, Caitlin Clark's like the biggest thing in basketball at the moment. She actually, did you see she got offered?
Yeah, we were talking. Yeah.
The big three mil
by Dr. Is it no.
Ice Cube.
3 mil to play in this 3-on-3 tournament.
Like or, with men and shit.
Yeah. Or the average starting salary, I think, for a women's WNBA player is $72,000.
Yeah.
So
like, it's like a private
yeah, funded but it's competition. Not like the
three
WNBA.
On three, and they so she's going to get paid $3 mil to go play.
I didn't know it was with men.
Yeah.
3-on-3.
I'm pretty sure it's with the men because.
She pulls up at the logo and just drills them like Curry.
They got a female coach in to coach one of the teams, and everyone was like, oh, she's going to do so shit because she's a chick. And in her first season, coached the team to a fucking premiership and won the 3v3.
Yeah, true.
But,
imagine a 3v3 team Mad Monday, just three of you at the pub.
Like, fuck yeah.
You win, if you're playing a three, like your team is only three people and you win the premiership, you just, Mad Monday's just three people at the pub. I'll lock in at the clubhouse.
I think you mean just like a team to go and sink piss at the pub.
No.
I was thinking your 3v3 team.
I was like, fucking hell, that'd be crazy.
Us three.
But it is March Madness at the moment, and March Madness always just has so many different cool storylines happening. One of them this year is I saw this on Clutch Points, first of all. Now, this bloke has now been on Pat McAfee. He's been all over because he's got a pretty...
And now he's getting a run on the greatest podcast in the world.
Fucking eye. So I hope he's excited about this. But it says here, an Uber driver is now a March Madness legend. He was a zero-star recruit out of high school and had just one Division I offer. In 2018, he went to some college, a small private Christian school in Michigan, and played 5 seasons of Division II basketball. After games, he would drive to the University of Michigan and be an Uber, Lyft, and DoorDash driver for college kids to make extra money. The best players compete to make money one day, but Jack Golke scrapped for every penny just for a chance to compete for something someday. He entered the transfer portal, so basically transfer portal is you're done, you can go to another college and get a go. And he had one offer from Oakland. In his first season with them, he averaged 12 points a game, but was shooting 97% of his shots from the threes. Oakland won the Horizon League Championship, and suddenly Jack was playing in the NCAA tournament. 40 minutes later, the former DoorDash driver has now cemented himself as a March Madness legend forever. He dropped 32 points and made 10 three-pointers, which was just one shy of the tournament record. The man was just delivering food. Now he's sending John Capillary and the three-seeded Wildcats home in round one, which is insane. He was never supposed to be here, but the crazy part is he knows that. He just doesn't care. I know I'm not going to the NBA, but on any given night, I can compete with those type of guys.
That's so sick. Yeah.
He used to deliver KFC buckets. Now he's just draining buckets.
Exactly. And there's something here as well. So the Raw Power team has put something up. Shot locations, 347 three-point attempts this season. And then he had 8 two-point attempts. So all he does, and the thing is,
they're probably accidents.
So 97% of those shots are fucking 3-point
shots.
That's
so fucking funny.
But it made me think. So this guy knows that his job is to go in there and drain threes. Now in the game, they kept double teaming him, even triple teaming him, and he was still fucking draining threes.
Yeah.
On the Pat McAfee show, they were like, "Do you reckon you could do a job?" He's like, "Honestly, like if an NBA team hit me up, like I'll go in there and just drain threes." Like he's like, "That's all I do." So they're absolutely loving it. But it made me think, if there was something that you're good at, like a sport, and there's one thing that you're good at, do you reckon you could be subbed in and just compete with the people the at the top of that sport, the best of the best?
Well, it'd be like being a punter in NFL, so like that, right?
Yeah, well, you know what it made me You know what it made me think of, and obviously this man has obviously this man's gone on to do great things, but when Dave Warner made his T20 debut for Australia, he was playing park cricket and then just lobbed through and just belted like
his thing was
96.
Just smacking the fuck out of the ball.
Turns out he's pretty good at it.
But yeah, it made me think, I've got a whole bunch of different scenarios. I went pretty rogue with it. Darts. Now, it's only a specific type of darts when you're around at home. When you're playing around the world. Have you ever played around the world?
I was playing that, no joke, on Sunday.
Yeah.
It's so fun. Just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 all the way around.
Now, I don't know what rules you play, but Dad and I play, if you hit the double, so say you get like double one, you go to three.
Yeah.
You don't go to two, you go to three.
Yeah, smart.
Triple three, on and so forth. But there's a certain point where you can't hit triples to increase anymore. So I thought, one of my things, I always have to get off to a good start with a triple one because that takes me instantly to four. And so that means whoever I'm playing against already knows that I'm fucking three shots ahead of them.
Yep, get them on the back foot instantly.
Best believe that you're going to bring me in just to hit
the
your
one.
First leg of a triple one and you're going to go straight to four.
Would that ever come in, you know, like when they're rounding out? You know how in darts you got to work down from 180?
I was thinking about this.
Like there's a certain dart that you could just sub in for. It's like, oh, well, he needs a triple one here. I think
what mine would be would possibly be either double 20 or double eight.
That'd be so funny. Imagine like a pro dart player, like fucking Van Gogh, and gets there. Yeah. He's within, all he needs is a double 20. Hang on. Tag team.
I'll tell you mine.
I was going to say, my favorite thing to do, that's why I think it'd be good with the doubles. My favorite thing to do is AFL. Won't explain it now. It was four quarters, but.
Is there really?
But darts AFL, you play it like there's four quarters and whatever. And the first one is always the 20 is the 6 points. So I'm always going for double or triple 20 there. So I reckon, Van Gerwen, hit me up, cunt.
Tag team.
Mine's the first ball of a game of beer pong when there's six cups.
I like that. That's actually very
I like that.
The six cup specialist.
The six cup star.
Doesn't do too well when there's only one cup.
Not as clutch. Now, to be fair, I'm fucking clutch.
I love beer pong. I haven't played it in so long.
I was playing on Friday before the Broncos game.
Fuck.
We only had four cups too between the two teams. And I'm clutch as fuck.
Clutch as fuck.
Like, I call anyone out at beer pong. I'm not even kidding.
Same here. I'm actually called Josh Clutcherbuck.
Clutcherbuck. We should have a
clusterfuck.
After the fights when we're back on the piss, we should have a podcast beer pong comp.
Oh, dude, that'd be so fun.
The drama. Yeah. And we can film it all and
like
shit.
A series, I think.
Yeah.
You can't judge someone on one game of beer pong.
No, you can just get
lucky and just
We'll just come up here and do
best
it.
Best of threes.
That'd be
shit.
So fun.
Yeah, it would be fucking so good. Stay tuned for that.
So good.
One I had actually wasn't outside of this. It was actually outside of the sporting realm, but I'm a bit of a fucking useless cunt around the house. But one thing I can do better than almost anyone is stack a dishwasher.
You are good at that.
So efficient at that. And it drives me fucking berserk when people don't stack them properly and they, you know, you can't fit everything. Oh, the dishwasher falls. Like, because you stacked it like a fucking moron. Like,
do you go, me and Berkey always have this chat. Do you go knives facing downwards or upwards?
Well, it doesn't really matter, but I would always go down.
I think
down.
It does.
I would go down.
Because he stacks them up.
Yeah.
Further
away from the water.
Well, no, like, you know how you the cutlery, in general, you have that little thing?
Little, like,
the
basket.
Holder. Yeah, the basket. Do you, like, face them down?
Yeah, because that's where the water comes from.
He thinks that you should face them up.
Yeah, interesting.
And I go, you're bizarre. Because, A, you could cut yourself.
Yeah.
And, B, they're not getting washed correctly.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't even think about the cut yourself, but that's 100% correct, To be
just,
fair.
Just something I wanted to know.
I actually, now that I think about it, I always do them down because I will rinse them and then chuck them
Yeah. I never pick which.
You don't want to touch it either.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Yeah, it's all rank and shit.
And if your hand's dirty when you're taking it out.
Yeah, so get me in there to fucking stack the dishwasher at the end of the night. I'll have it sorted for you. You won't have to worry about washing up anything.
Yeah.
It was actually quite nice. I didn't have a dishwasher at home. I was out at mum's on the weekend and she has one. So it was good to just, you know, ensure I've still got the skills.
Fucking hell.
To ask the homemaker.
Yeah, that's it.
Jesus, well,
no, that's it though. It doesn't extend upon anything else. It's just the dishwasher.
That's good. I like that. I had another one playing pool. Yeah, I'm a terrible pool player.
Yeah.
So you're going to be like, why would I sub you in? A lot of the times when you're playing pool and you're with half decent people, you'll both be down to having to sink the eight ball.
Yeah.
I think you sub me in because the amount of times that I play and I don't actually sink the eight ball, but the other person sinks the white ball, therefore I win. Sub me in, bro.
Winning by default.
Yeah, winning by default, because I get in someone else's head and just be like, you're going to sink the white ball. Like, this is the easiest shot ever. There's no way you're going to lose.
Yeah.
Boom. White fuck ball. It up. White ball in. Josh wins. Yeah. Suck shit.
Kinda. There's no worse feeling than that either, because you, especially when you're better than the other person.
Yeah, I know. They've got like four balls like left on the table.
Basically,
I genuinely used to play like to get into that position. Because I just knew I was so bad. And as soon as I got in that position, I used to do it down at Henwoods all the time. I'd be like, unlucky, bro. I'm about to win. He's like, what do you mean? I was like, well, you're going to sink the white. And he was so much better. I was like,
it's deflating, eh?
Well, I actually had a pool one as well. Sorry to interject.
No, it's okay. Early,
but mine was subbing me in for a pool comp upstairs at the Caxton, because I know that the table swings towards that one corner.
Yes.
I have that, like, you know, home ground knowledge that if you roll a ball close to that, like, mate, bottom left pocket, it's going in.
Fucking oath, dude.
But any other pool table, I'm useless.
Nah. Fucking dad was downstairs. So if you don't know Steve, he's my dad, runs the pub as well. He owns the pub. Some dribbler come up to me, goes, mate, just so you know, the pool table's on the piss, and, you know, and like the guy's like moving in it, like it's on wheels, and he's trying to like move it in the right spot. Steve goes, mate, I'll just be right back. I'll go get my toolkit and I'll fix it up for you. And I heard him say it. And he goes, fucking idiot.
That's so good.
And I think the guy thought he was serious,
waiting around for half an hour.
So funny. Oh, I have another couple.
It's a pub.
Yeah.
In footy, particularly lower grade football, I'm very good at picking an opportune time to take an intercept.
Yeah,
okay. I actually have, like, I've scored a lot of intercept tries.
Yeah.
I've also been chased down a lot from intercepting because I'm fucking so Tom slow didn't. Sometimes. But, yeah, I think you can sub me on to get intercepts. And my last one, Division 5 mixed touch footy. Not TRL, but it has to be touch. Sub me on every time that you do a restart on the halfway line. There was a season I played and I scored that many fucking tries just by tapping the ball and then sort of shaping up and then just sprinting to the outside and running around people.
Because they don't expect people, it.
They don't expect it, particularly from a fucking big fat cunt that's left, got the afterburners on.
You go left or right.
Yeah, left or right.
Yeah. But, I did have, I go left.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just remembered I got one more. Anyone who's match fixing in cricket, specifically like when you're aiming to lose wickets at certain times, sub me in to bowl the over after you've lost all those wickets. Because fuck me, bro, the amount of times in school towards the end of my cricketing school career that I went in, and particularly from Harry Wilson's brother Sam, I would try to bowl decent balls in good areas, but they would just always be in the hit zone.
Wait, who's match fixing cricket? What do you mean?
Oh, bro, have you seen the fucking southeast continent of Asia? Holy.
Lenny was talking about it. He was like, it's so...
Bro, it's massive. The amount of like Pakistanis and Indians and Sri Lankans that have been done for match fixing is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Apparently there's a whole bunch of like underground bookies and shit over there, and they will be like... Because you can bet on what delivery or the next delivery will be a wicket or something.
Yeah.
So you could get off to a flying start and then it'll be the third ball of the 10th over, you're going to get bowled.
Yeah, you can. And then even like the bowlers especially, like you can bet on like wides.
Yeah.
And like they'd overstep the thing.
No, wide,
you know.
Yeah. It's like crazy, bro.
Yeah, the next over, just put
me in the next over because then it basically gets rid of any suspicion that you were purposely losing wickets, because it just shows that it was unlucky and that you do have the potential to pump some cunt to 30 runs.
Stella, can you just make that
camera's not charging, the little one, and it's about to die. Can you just like unplug it and replug it and make sure it's... The last one that I had was if you're training for a boxing fight and you need a big confidence boost in a sparring session before you fight, do rounds with me. Because like head movement not existent. Like I'll basically just be a human punching bag for you. Like it'll just pump up your tires, get you ready to go. But if you need someone to help you prep properly for your fight, I'm not your guy. But yeah, just for a confidence boost pre-fight, give me a call and sub me in.
Mate, I was trying to do head movement this morning and doing like just fucking slips.
Yeah.
And Jerry had the pool noodles.
Yeah.
And every time he'd do it, I'd slip into the pool noodle. Yeah. And I'd just be like, and there was one, I was just like, fuck. And he just started pissing himself. He's like, oh, good man. I was like, I'm just going to get used to eating punches.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot easier than thinking.
I can breathe again.
That's good.
I'm good for a striking bowling.
Yeah, I have heard that. Yeah. Yeah, why aren't you like a national champ or something?
Yeah. Do you know, I honestly in my head, so delusional, thought I should re-uptake bowling for the 2032 Olympics.
Why not?
I don't know.
Like, is it even in the Olympics, Tempin bowling?
Yeah, pretty sure.
Don't worry. We're going to be the fucking...
I'll Google it.
We're going to be the lawn bowl duo for the 2052 Olympics.
Yeah, 2052.
Yeah, fucking nice. What are we now? 24. So what's that?
Like 70-odd. No, 60.
28 man. Years. 57, mate. Yeah. We'll be fucked. That's the prime of your bowling career. I was literally sitting up at the Mooloolaba Bowls Club at this wake last Monday and just watching the oldies. They had the undercover lawn bowls. Fuck me, man. Like, some of them were very, very good.
Yeah.
Very, very good. I was like, if I'm already like, I'm not saying I'm a great bowler, but a lot of the times when we're on the piss and we go to bowls or whatever, like, we get pretty fucking close to that little white ball.
Yeah, dude.
Very close. You know, I just think about it. I'm like, what's stopping me?
Do you know what I love about bowls and like bowling and all those obscure sports is there's like all the little like etiquette things you don't know about.
Yeah.
Like, you can really piss people off
without knowing. Like, yeah. Like there are people sitting at bowls club watching you like drink a scooter on the grass going,
no
glass on the grain.
In Tempin bowling, if you're like up next to, if you're mucking around, like, you know, not taking it seriously, and you share the lane or even like someone who's like 2-3 lanes next to you, and you see them with the ball and they're going through their setup, like they pick it up. And then if you bowl while they're doing their run up, they get filthy.
Yeah.
Because it's like in their peripherals. Vision.
Yeah. When I used to work at the bowls club one night, there was this bloke, he was maggot as when we were closing up. And he showed me he had all these fireworks he bought. And I was like 19. And I literally, like, last drinks, shut up the bar, did the till and everything. He's out the front still. As I'm walking out, he's having a durry. He's like, oh, watch this. Lights this little firework on the cement. And it just starts popping. He's like, holy fuck. So he kicked it onto the green. And it, like, blew up. And we're like, oh, that's funny as. And then the next day I came in and the cops had been through because the bowls members came down and it had burnt this huge hole in the middle of the green.
Oh, no.
And they're like, we've got fucking CCTV of these young kids coming and pass at 3 o'clock in the morning and we think they threw something on the green. I was like, it's fucking that bloke sitting outside letting off fireworks at about 9:30 when I left. Like, I didn't say anything. I was like, oh, fucking kids. But shout out to lawn bowls. Also, bowling was at the 1988 Summer Olympics, but I think that was it.
Is that the last
one
time?
One and done. Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have seen that American bloke.
Yeah.
You know, who do you think you are? I am.
I love that guy. I love that guy.
Did you see the pump up video he did when he retired? He's like, hate me or love me, you watched.
Yeah. Do you know, he was talking about someone in the crowd that was giving him shit.
Oh, really? Yeah,
someone was like heckling some kid, like some young kid in the crowd, like 12-year-old kid,
I think.
Yeah, he was like, and he's like, I didn't know what to say, but he's like, I wanted to say something, but didn't say it right. And I was so pumped up in the moment. Fucking some 12-year-old kid just got to him.
So fucking funny. Yeah. One of the all-time sprays. All right, something else that's been popping up recently in the BBB Frothies Facebook group. There's been a lot of WWE chat. Someone actually asked us this week, again, I think it was Lockie Elm, asked us for our top five WWE wrestlers of all time. Now, I know that Sterlo's a bit of a wrestling fan.
Wrestling.
So I thought instead of just giving you a boring old top five, I'd give Sterlo a blind ranking and I'd run him through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So you've got 8 wrestlers here to rank. In number one being your favorite, 8 being your least favorite. Okay. Obviously, you're not going to know what's coming next, but this is Sterling's.
Yeah, right.
This is Sterling's top 8 WWE wrestlers of all time.
It's gonna be tough.
First up, we've got Goldberg. Where are you ranking Goldberg? Dude, the spear. I used to
like Goldberg, man.
Love Goldberg.
I'll give Goldie like...
He's a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Mate, in San Fran, we were at a vintage shop and there was a Goldberg shirt and I was like, Darth, like you have to get
this.
Yeah,
I was close.
See, I rank many. Depends who else you got on that list, obviously. Well, I'm going to give him, I guess the whole point is yeah. that I'll give him like a 5.
Okay.
Okay.
Five, fucking hell, that's conservative for Goldberg.
Yeah.
How do you reckon he'd go on an NRL field just fucking spearing cuts?
Dude, he'd be a lock.
Oh,
he'd
yeah.
He'd be a lock.
Just
he'd be a
chopping people. Yeah. Like Kurt Catewell.
Yeah.
Kurt Goldberg.
Do you remember him in that movie, The Longest Yard, and they had all those wrestlers? Yeah. He had a massive cock.
Yeah. Goldberg. Right. I forgot about that.
It's one of the best movies of all time, actually. Yeah.
Was Goldberg on the police team in that?
He was an NFL. He used to play NFL, actually. For the Atlanta Falcons, yeah.
Holy fuck.
Dude, so
yeah.
many ex-wrestlers.
That is terrifying.
Look that up, for real. Yeah.
Bill insane. Goldberg.
Yeah, he's a scary looking motherfucker.
So I gave him a 6?
5,
okay.
Out of 8.
Go 5. Yeah, 5 of 8. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Wow, he's the same age as my parents.
I think he's the same age as us. I was like, cunt, he looks 60.
oh my God. Okay. Defensive tackle.
Second cowboy.
For the Falcons?
Sorry, yeah.
Was it for
weird,
the Falcons?
That's a weird
92 to 94. Originally drafted to the Rams and then played a couple other games. But
so it wasn't Falcons?
Well, he was Falcons 92 to 94.
Oh, right. I was right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, that's an obscure
weird,
trivia
weird fact.
Yeah. Well, good on you for knowing it. Second up, we've got Tajiri.
Remember the green mist? Eight. Yeah. I used to hate
Tajiri. Yeah, me too. He's a fucking loser.
Okay.
Did I remember going this, watch the WWE and Brizzy and the match he was in, it was a tag team match, I'm pretty sure. They fucked it up. And like, I think the ref called it when he wasn't supposed to and Tajiri hadn't done his mist. So then they're all like, oh, what the fuck? And Tajiri ran over to the bloke who was like, not in the ring, you know, like the tag team partner. And just sprayed him in the face.
Does Tajiri have that in his mouth the whole fight?
Or what? I reckon it must just be like a... water with like a colored, you know, but still impressive to hold on
That's
to.
That's right. That was hilarious.
Yeah.
Taiju.
Okay. You've gone 8 for Tajiri, which is interesting.
Okay.
John Cena, my number one favorite by far.
See, I'm not a huge John Cena guy.
Yeah. Okay.
Because there's better wrestlers, obviously, than him.
Well, there's not. Sure.
I'll give John Cena a 3.
A 3, okay. I can deal with that. This one, I think, will rank quite high on your list. What about Gold Dust?
Gold. See, no, I'm happy with that. I'll give him a 7. I'll give Gold Dust a 7 I'm happy with that.
Gold Dust.
Yeah, well, you used to wear the suit. You used to put a bit of makeup on. Bit of a freak. I don't mind that.
A freak. I kind of like that. I just have memories of Gold Dust getting like figure 4 leg lock and his face paint rubbing off on the canvas.
Do you know he's Cody Rhodes' brother or cousin?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you know? Dude, have you seen that?
Someone Dustin Rhodes is his name.
Yeah. My WWE IQ is huge.
Have you seen the bloodline photo and it's all the people that are related in the WWE? It's incredible.
And then there's their dad was another Rhodes,
Gold
obviously.
Member.
Oh, who was it? How do I not know this?
Cody Rhodes, Dustin Rhodes, who else?
Dusty. Dusty Rhodes, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
You do have a high WWE IQ.
I was a fucking freak, man.
Okay, coming in next, we have Kurt Angle.
So I gave Cena a 3. I'll give Angle a 4.
A 4, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So just
that sucks. He's above Goldberg.
Yep. That's what I mean.
He's Olympic gold medalist, so.
Yeah, but still.
It's okay.
So for a bit of a recap so far, we've got Tajiri at 8, Goldust at 7, Goldberg at 5, Kurt Angle at 4, John Cena at 3.
I like this a lot.
Yeah, I reckon you're going to like this next one as well. Rikishi.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Fight? Did I say?
No, you've got 5. 6. That's Goldberg.
6.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
Yes.
Sure. Yep.
Unless you fucking dogged me here.
You've got 1 and 2.
Yep. Yeah, you've got 1 and 2 left to go. This next one, be interested to see where you put it. The Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
2.
2.
You better not fuck me over here, dude.
So, can we get a quick recap? We've got at number 8, Tajiri. At number 7, Goldust. At number 6, Rikishi. At number 5, Goldberg. Number 4, Kurt Angle. Number 3, John Cena. Number 2, Shawn Michaels. You pretty happy with that? You pretty happy with that?
So far. That's a pretty good list. Unless you fucking like hurricane me or something.
You're saying the number 1 wrestler, in your opinion, in the WWE history is Spike Dudley from the Dudley Boys.
That's so funny. He'd give it his all.
every time. He'd get knocked out. He'd go through a table.
That's why he's my favourite.
He'd set the tables up.
You know, originally I had Bubba Ray Dudley, and he's I used to go to make sure that was his name because for some reason in my head it didn't sound right. And then I had underneath Spike Dudley. I was like, holy Spike Dudley.
He kind of annoys me because I was waiting for like The Rock or Stone Cold. Yeah, like they're the goats, dude.
Yeah. You reckon The Rock is the goat?
Yeah. 100%.
Stone Cold.
The Rock 100%. Or Stone Cold. Like, I could not. I'd put Undertaker third.
If you had to do your top five, like legit.
Not my top five? Fuck. Not Chris Benoit.
No.
maybe cut that out. I'd go my Mount Rushmore of WWE. I would have to go.
The Rock, get it?
The Rock. Yeah, The Rock. Yeah. Stone Cold. You get that one?
Yeah.
Fucking probably The Undertaker would be up there.
Yeah. Yep.
I liked Hulk Hogan. I did like Hulk Hogan, but he was a bit before.
Yeah, a bit before.
And then I'd go like as like a team, DX. Yeah. So like Triple H. Sean
Michaels.
I used to fucking love that shit. Sick. Oh, man.
Where does Eddie Guerrero sit for you?
Quite high.
He was always one of my favourites. Danny Vegas.
What do they call him? Papi. No, he calls that Australian chick, Rhea Ripley, Mami. Do you know? I don't really.
I haven't watched it in fucking.
What about like Ric Flair? You did the whole.
Yeah, I don't mind Flair. Massive pisshead, so we can relate in that way. Yeah.
Proper pisshead, though.
But yeah, I reckon that's not a bad list. I think.
Yes, shout out to Spike Dudley.
What would yours be? Listening.
Oh, it's a great question. John Cena would be up there. I think Eddie Guerrero would be up there. I remember being a little kid, and when Eddie Guerrero died, like being legitimately devastated. Sad as fuck.
Yeah.
Rey Mysterio I was a big fan of as well.
The little guy.
Yeah, 619 people. Mm. Unbelievable. The Big Show, forgotten.
Yeah.
Like, love his slap when he used to make the crowd go quiet and just slap people on the chest. Yeah. Like, imagine copping that. That would fucking hurt.
My algorithm is so cooked that it's like a lot of WWE dominated stuff that just pops up in my reel and I go, I don't even watch it. I don't watch any WWE anymore. I just
My sister was more into it than me. I just did the games.
Yeah, but the games were great. Yeah.
But fuck, I used to love them. Triple H.
Yeah.
Undertaker. I used to love Edge as well. Randy Orton. I liked Edge because he was a cunt.
Yeah.
And then,
you know me.
Yeah. And then
Batista. He fucked Lena.
I was just about to say Lena. And Matt Hardy was.
Yeah.
Do you know that was like a real life thing?
Oh, really?
Yeah. So the guys who found out about it, like who do the wrestling and they write the storylines, they found out that it was like a dead set real life love triangle. And Edge was like rooting Lita. And Matt Hardy found out about it and like bashed him. And then they were like, you have to do this now. Remember they put the bed in the ring?
Yeah, dude.
And then Kane randomly got involved.
With flames.
Love Kane.
Like, I'm about to ask you a question, potentially a bit too personal, but I really need you to answer it honestly. Growing up, did you ever play bra and panties matches on SmackDown?
Fucking 100%.
All the
time. We used to go
to the strip clubs on San Andreas.
I literally got a stripper on GTA 5 the other night. It was fucking hilarious. The car bounced up and down. But, bro, we used to sit there at Marist in primary school in the Christmas holidays for the first couple of weeks. They had something called Ash Care.
Yeah.
It was just like vacation care. And you used to get to bring in, like, you had the option of bringing in your PlayStation, all that sort of shit. You could bring in your games, but everyone had to have a fair go of it. And the amount of bras and panties matches that got played in sixth grade classroom, fuck me.
I reckon that's how so many people of our like age group and generation realized like that's how they became a man was WWE divas, like Trish Stratus and shit.
Puppies. It'd be so funny. You'd be playing in like your mum and or Stacey Keibler, Tori Wilson.
Dude, if half that shit was on the TV now, people be like, holy
Stacey Keibler used to
so edge.
Stacey Keibler used to George Clooney.
Really?
Yeah.
Fuck.
There you go. The more you know.
You do.
You have a lot of WWE
wrestling.
I used to go. I used to go to the ones at the Boonville Entertainment
Center. Dude, I went with, so very long story, but my parents' best friends had kids that were like our age and their grandma used to spoil us and spoil them. And we used to love a WWE, always watch it with them. And I remember she bought us for Christmas all this merch, like John Cena shirt. Mm. I had a padlock on a chain and shit. She bought it all for us. And when she gave it to us, she was like, I've got good news. We're going to the WWE when it comes. We're so pumped. She took us. She would have been 60, 70. And my dad picked us up after and was driving us home. And dad turns around and goes, how was it? And she's in the front. She goes, you know what? I'll take that to the grave with me. That's one of the best nights of my life.
It's like sweating.
Just loved it. Absolutely loved
it. That's awesome.
Can't be on about Batista. Oh, that Batista.
Did you ever like wrestle at home with your mates and shit, dude, all the time.
We used to have a trampoline with a net on it, ugly.
I used to film. We would set up cameras and film it and make montages and shit.
I broke one of my brother's arms and the other brother's wrist on the trampoline. I got Louis on my shoulders and did the Eugene finishing, you know, when you spin around and make him dizzy. And then I fell with him on top of me and snapped his arm in half.
Don't try this at home. Bro, my mate would always be like, mum would come out and like see us and say that. And he's like, well, I'm not at my home, I'm at my friend's home.
Bro, I remember walking up the street in the Gap, saw some friends of, it was like one of mum's friends from school, had kids around our age, hadn't seen them in years. They'd come back from living in France or something. We're just walking up a street and then all of a sudden fucking one of them just goes RKO and just grabbed my head. And we're just on the fucking side, like on the grass, bro.
That's right.
It hurt so much, bro.
We did that to a kid, me and my mate, Andrew Barnes. We randomly did who was the guy? Bubba Ray and Devon.
Yeah.
And they'd pick him up by the legs and pretty much RKO him.
Yeah.
So it was like almost like a higher RKO.
Yeah. Oh.
And we just did it on the ground to this guy. Grateful.
Holy shit. Yeah.
How good's WWE?
Oh man, I could go for days for
so
real.
We just started a WWE only podcast.
Yeah. Anyway. Should have a segment, like just a two-min segment. Yeah.
Two men.
Two men, that was like 15.
20, cunt, yeah.
If you're still with us.
All right, to finish off, we'll get into our round five tips. Yep, round five. Yep. And for everyone who's probably sitting there stressing throughout this whole podcast that they won't hear Cronin's crowd predictions, don't worry. We've got the numbers
with us.
The numbers with us. We wouldn't do that to you.
I might get the numbers up if you
I've got them, mate. I'm all over it. Fucking step ahead. But to kick off this round, we've got the blockbuster game of the round, in my opinion. Thursday, the 4th of April, Amy Park, the Melbourne Storm versus the Brisbane Broncos.
I'll be going with Melbourne.
Yeah.
The return of Cam Munster and fucking Hughes,
Jerome
bro.
Hughes. Yeah, that's
my
massive.
God.
Are you agreeing with him?
No, I'm tipping the Broncos. No, but I'm just saying it is massive that those two boys are back. Can you not just fucking squash that, bro?
What was the score last time they played?
Yeah, but
got to be on the thing. The score the last time?
No, but I've got the NRL up because I can check it.
No, you guys beat us in a prelim.
Yeah. 26 points to nil.
Yeah.
How'd that feel?
Fine. How did it feel losing a fucking grand final?
I knew you were going to bring that up. Fuckwit.
You started it.
You started it, bro. I never throw any chat about it.
You can, you.
Mate, Melbourne are looking fucking good this year as well. We got Pappy back. Like,
they beat Penrith without fucking Munster.
Yeah.
Which is terrifying stuff.
So, and we didn't have Hughes and fucking lost to Newcastle by fuck all.
I'm still tipping the Broncos
are going to win.
Dude, Broncos, I definitely agree this is a way harder game than last week. But again, Broncos outside is at $2.80.
Great
odds. I reckon that's crazy.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I reckon that's fucking absurd.
I saw it last week. I can't remember the actual prices. No, for the premiership. Broncos are second premiership favourites. I think Storm are like fourth or fifth. Hmm. How the fuck can the Broncos be outsiders this week? You know what I mean?
Because you don't have Husey and... Haas and Walsh.
Yeah.
Looking at it though, like you look at them, I think we got the better fullback, but only just because Saylor
does a job.
Don't know about that.
Saylor does a job.
I reckon we got the better wing pairing.
Don't know about that.
But I think you guys have a better centre pairing. The halves are even. props are pretty. What do you mean, cunt? Cameron Munster and Jerome Hughes.
I'd almost go the Storm was stronger than the Broncos.
Yeah. Bro, Ezra Mann or Adam Reynolds.
Yeah, they're great, but
they're better.
Hello to the New Zealand seven
and the Queensland.
I'm not biased,
the reigning world champion.
Money's been out for a while. He's come back from injury.
Yeah, that will be a telling sign, I reckon. But you know what Munster's like, cunt. This is what he does.
Nah.
He'll come out and score 14 tries. Cam Munster.
We love Billy Walters, but are you honestly staring me in the eyes and saying that Harry Grant, Queensland hooker, is not better than Billy Walters?
By the way that Billy's been playing lately, I mean. I won't get that far. No, seriously, they're different players. They're completely different players. Completely different players, the way that they play the game.
Yeah, I know who I'd be picking for Queensland. But anyway, we're getting caught up in this one way too much. the moment we've all been waiting for is Jack's crowd prediction at Amy Park on Thursday night. 18,322.
Interesting. I reckon they might crack 20K.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Like two teams going well.
Two teams Thursday going well night with might no not AFL. Be,
but no AFL on this week, correct, in Melbourne because it's gather round.
Yep.
If you didn't know that, I didn't know it. So they're obviously doing a great job promoting that. Anyway, moving on to Friday, we've got the 5th of April, the Bulldogs versus the Chooks at a Core Stadium.
I'll be going the Chookies. And I don't think that comes as a surprise to anyone.
That's an easy one.
Yeah, Chooks for sure. Yeah. What's Cronin got for us there? 12,205 people jam-packed into a core. The standing room only. The second game Friday night, Knights Dragons.
This one fucking irks me, dude.
Yeah.
This one pisses me off because I think the Dragons at $3.
Yeah. Is,
it's a wig out.
It is a wig out.
Mm. The Knights at $1.39. Like you could not take that confidently at that short of a price. Why did the Dragons beat Manly?
Yeah.
And who did the Knights play last week?
They lost to the Warriors.
Like how?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. They've both been a bit all over the shop, haven't they?
Mm.
The Wars have gone the Knights have gone a loss against the Warriors, a loss against the Raiders, a loss against the Cowboys, and then beaten the Storm and then lost again to the Warriors. So I don't know. I'm going to go the Knights at home, McDonald Jones Stadium.
Yeah.
But tough game to pick.
See, yeah, Knights for sure.
This is where I'm going to pick the Dragons. I'm not even kidding.
Okay. Yep. Power to you. I love people picking the underdogs. Cronin's predicting 18,739. I quite like how specific he's gone this week.
Yeah.
With his predictions. So we'll stay tuned to see how he goes there. Moving on to Super Saturday, 2 p.m. We've got the Rabbitohs versus the Wars at Accor Stadium. Accor's got two games this weekend. There you go.
Wow. Jesus.
Yeah, I'm going Wars.
Yeah, I'm going Wars.
Yeah, the Cape Wars.
Cape Wars, I quite like that. What's Cronin got here? 14,231. The 4:30 game sees the Seagulls play the Panthers. Panthers are $1.61. I'd be taking every single cent I have in my punting account and putting it on them.
Yeah.
The Seagulls looked fucked on the weekend.
Seagulls were terrible.
Probably
mate,
their worst game ever.
I'm not sure if it was a piss take or not, but I saw somewhere that Turbo might have got a bunch of Dally M points. And
really?
I think it might have been a piss take.
Yeah.
But
yeah, he did. No, he did.
He did.
Yeah. He got six.
Was legit?
Yeah.
I saw that and was like, was he getting 1 point for every ball he dropped?
Yeah. He had no involved, like, and positive
involvement.
That's
nothing, against Turbo. He set up the first try. It was great, but he just wasn't the same player on the weekend.
Yeah, and
it was
lost.
Crazy.
Probably pretty averagely, yeah. So Cronin's predicting 17,013 there, but I think we're all going the Panthers, safe to say. And the final game for Super Saturday, Dolphins Tigers at Suncorp Stadium.
I think Tigers are value, but I'm going to go Finns.
Galvin's out.
Galvin's out.
Who played awesome.
Galvin's out, and they've put Bud Sullivan in, who I don't really know if he's a fucking six.
Mm.
They got that young fella, Finu, who came over from Manly at 14. So he might sub on if things are going bad. But Finns, I think, will be looking to put on a big show. They do have the Broncos the week after, so they want to be building for that game.
Finns have got to win this, I reckon. Like, they've been a bit up and down.
They're coming first.
Yeah.
I mean,
they've beaten the Dragons and the Titans. Like, good on you. So they got
Tigers are a legit team this year as well. So.
The Tigers.
They beat the Dragons and the Titans, I meant to say. So if I said the Tigers, sorry. I
fucking hate the West Tigers.
Yeah, but, like, they have two wins on the trot. Let's not forget 3 weeks ago, the Finns got absolutely decimated by the Cowboys. So I agree, Clutzy, with the Broncos game coming up next week, they'll be fucking hungry for a win. So I'm going to tip them as well.
I'll give you my attendance before you give Crows.
Yep.
I'm changing it. I'm going to go 18,544.
Just
18,544. And I know he's gone way over.
Yeah, Cronin's gone 26,201.
They're playing the Tigers. Just do remember that.
Tigers have a very loyal supporter base, considering how bad they've been.
All fucking 5,000 of them.
Anyway.
Mate, I hate the Tigers.
Interesting team to hate, yeah.
I just think that they'd pass. This year, I hope they don't prove me wrong, but they might. I don't like anything
about
them.
Would you say they're like the North?
I like Happy Coruscant.
Would you say they're like the North?
I'd say they're like the fifth grade of Jeeps.
Fair. Well, Norse doesn't have a fifth grade, so.
That was snappy, eh?
Moving on to Sunday, we've got two games. The Cowboys play the Titans at Country Bank Stadium. Cowboys at $1.14.
Titans look so bad.
They do look fucked. And the Cows will probably be horny to come back.
I'd call Fitty in the house bounce. Like, literally. They're going to get 50 points put on them.
You reckon?
Yeah.
The Titans. That was a fucking loud one.
That was the Titans coming out of my ass.
Are the Titans that bad? I haven't seen them play this year.
Oh, mate, they're terrible. They don't look like scoring points.
Poor Tino's done an ACL.
Yeah, that's so shit.
Mm. I feel bad for Dez.
They're $5.75.
They've got Jaden Campbell back, but fuck me. Bro, they're putting AJ Simpson in centre.
Brimson.
He's Yeah, AJ Simpson. Yeah, sorry. AJ Brimson in center. Like, it's just like... Wasted. He's so wasted there.
They're coming off three losses to the Dragons, the Bulldogs, and the Dolphins. Like, that's... They've scored 18 points and conceded, what, 62 and, plus 28.
And all not good teams.
Yeah, that's pumped. What I meant. Like, yeah, they're getting pumped. Cronin's crowd prediction for that game is 17,711. I would have thought they'd get more of that in
Townsville. For a bit
Townsville.
Of a derby,
yeah. Yeah. Mm. Like, yeah. Townsville people show up. But
I just think, maybe they just don't want to see them pump.
Yeah, maybe. And the final game to round out the week, we've got the Canberra Raiders versus the...
See...
Eels.
Eels. For me, this is the exact same as Knights and Dragons.
Yeah.
It's flip a fucking coin, man.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. The reason why it's flip a coin is because the Eels don't have Mitch Moses. If the Eels have Mitch Moses, the odds for this are Eels $1.50.
Yeah.
But like...
We are talking about the faders, though.
Yeah, that is true. Who'd the Eels lose to last week? The Tigers. Tigers. And the Tigers
look, point.
You know what? I'm going to take the Eels here.
I'm going to take the Raiders. I reckon they learn from last week and hold them out at home, but not confident.
You know
at
who?
All.
You know who's been dropped?
Who
is? No, he hasn't. I lied. I was going to say Corey Hawkes, but he had an absolute stinker.
Nah,
of the game.
Someone else got injured last week, so I think he's sticking safe. Around.
Cronin's prediction for that game is 13,000.
Hoskins got injured, which sucks.
Oh,
sorry.
That does suck. 13,561 to round it out. So let's see how we go.
I'm going to go Raiders there, I didn't say.
Yeah, okay. I'm going Raiders as well. But that's nearly an hour. That's probably all we got time for. Sterlo, thanks for jumping on,
thanks
mate.
Thanks for jumping in, mate.
Pleasure.
I can't wait to come on your podcast and just dedicate the whole show to WWE.
That was fun, man.
That was fun.
Get a bit of feedback on that.
Yeah,
you know what we'll have
WWE
to do?
You got?
Well, I'll have to get out the old PS2. I've been looking at it at home.
Oh, can we play bra and panties matches up here?
Holy.
We should do a podcast Olympics, beer pong, bra and panties matches.
Yeah. Done. Absolutely done. I'll bring SmackDown versus... No, you got SmackDown versus Raw. I got Here Comes the Pain.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Let's fucking collaborate.
We can finish it off with Fear Factor. Fucking dig a hole. Have you heard of this guy? You just play Fear Factor?
No.
You just dig a hole in the backyard and pour like dog poo and petrol and shit.
Maybe
in
what
there.
We can do, instead of doing that, we can just fucking stick our heads towards the floor at 4 a.m. of the Caxton toilets.
They used to see who could stick their head in the hole for the longest. Sterlo, where can people find your podcast? Sorry, I've got a video to play to finish this off, but before we do play the video, do you want to give Off-Field Drama a quick plug, mate?
Of course I do. It is the number one podcast on Caxton Street.
He's got it first.
We'll take
go.
This again, boys, eh? Our memory go. Cards don't die.
Yeah.
Nah, we do the potty up at the Caxton, same place as the boys, and they let us use their stuff, and we're very grateful for that. We have guests. We like to laugh. We like to yarn, talk shit. It's exactly the same as this, pretty much, but...
Yep.
Better.
It's more of it. Okay, thanks for tuning in. We'll leave you with a quick video from Lockie Ohm, just the audio of it, obviously. But we'll be back next week with Jack Cronin. We hope he's getting better. Everyone send him love and support and best wishes, and go the Broncos.
Jack Cronin cursed because he did a thingy at KO Stadium. Jack Cronin cursed the Raiders because he did a thingy at KO Stadium.
Good on him.
The podcast this week is brought to you by Domino's.
It is brought to you by Domino's. Now, as you know, Clutty and I have been hard training for the Boxing Royale, which took place over the weekend. Domino's hit us up today and we're like, we've got a bit of a reward, boys, for all your hard work. We really want Ooh. You to treat yourself this week. Ooh. So they've come to us with a new code for us to share. But we thought, you know, let's share it with the frothies as well. Why not? Like, they didn't specify saying that it's not for everyone else.
Yep.
Now, the code is BBBB. There's four Bs. Just I wanted to, like, just emphasize that to make sure people know I'm serious. Four Bs, WK, which stands for Boost Week.
Basically. Ooh, lovely.
BBB Boost Week. So for this week only until Sunday, you can get one pizza for 30% off, two pizzas for 40% off, or three pizzas for 50% off that code.
That's fucking incredible.
It is fucking incredible, Josh.
That is so good. And I think we have earned a lot of pizzas.
Yeah, I might have 50,000 pizzas this week just to make up for it.
Yeah, what? So that's like, you're only going to pay for like 25,000
of worth. Yeah, okay. So we're essentially making money.
Yeah, exactly.
You're getting 25,000 pieces for free.
When you do bike maths, it's essentially you're eating for free for the rest of your life.
The more you eat, the more you make.
Fucking oath.
So if you want to make money this week, go to Domino's and use the code BBBBWK.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.